Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy CIO of the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's start with some basics. The Joint Task Force CAPMED, as it's commonly called. I saw that on your website. What is the mission of it? Give me a sense of what you guys do every day.
The mission that we have is basically to create an integrated healthcare system for the National Capital Region to provide the highest quality care for our wounded warriors, our active duty, the beneficiaries that we have, and our retirees, to ensure that we are a medically ready force for all of the active duty in our region so that we can both do our peacetime and our wartime mission, and then to fulfill the BRAC mission requirements that have been given to us by Congress.
So you guys are set up by Congress specifically for the two reasons, BRAC and obviously the medical reason.
Correct. The main thing is to create the integrated healthcare delivery system and to fulfill the BRAC realignment. So they're kind of one and the same.
What year did you guys get set up? Is this a fairly new organization, or have you guys been around for a while?
We were actually established by Congress, and the BRAC law was passed in 2005. We actually were stood up as a formal organization in 2007 and then have been doing the planning and the execution of the BRAC mission since then.
And I know BRAC is coming to a head. Here we are in August, and your deadline's coming soon, so I know we'll talk about that later in the interview. But let me ask you about your role as the Deputy CIO. How do you support the mission of the Joint Task Force CAPMED?
Now, to create the integrated delivery system, that's a way of getting the providers and the clinician and the support staff to work together to provide world-class health care to our wounded warriors and beneficiaries. But in order to do that, you need the information that's in all of our various computer systems to be able to flow seamlessly, quickly, and efficiently as well. We did not have that capability because, well, quite frankly, everything rose up through the services. They were the ones who were tasked with the medical mission. So you had an Army mission, an Air Force mission, Navy mission. But with the integrated delivery system that is JTF CAPMED, we wanted to build an integrated network delivery system that brought the right information to the right provider at the right time. So that's what we do here as the CIO office of JTF CAPMED.
Now, are you looking at the day-to-day stuff? Are you a strategic? Do you kind of combine those two things? Because obviously, if you're saying we're trying to pull data from different places, it sounds like a lot of operational work.
Mostly, we do the strategic planning and budgeting and execution for that to build the network, create the standards, and pull all of those resources together from a networking standpoint and an integration standpoint. But actually retrieving the information, that's more of a day-to-day type activity. And, of course, our clinicians are very skilled in doing that, working with our electronic medical record. And their support staff has all of their technologies that they use. So they're good at that day-to-day effort. And we're just trying to knit it together from a regional standpoint.
When you look at that knitting together, I mean, there's different efforts around DOD. Obviously, there's what TRICARE and the medical health system does with ALTA and the work DOD is doing with VA. How do you fit into all those different efforts?
Well, we're aligned very closely with TMA and the MHS, and we actually rely on them heavily for engineering resources, engineering design, and whatnot. They actually provide a lot of the networking services that we have. ALTA, our electronic medical record, flows through what we call the JMED system, our joint medical network. There's CHCS, which is our physician order entry, supports heavily ALTA. All of that will ride and is currently riding the joint medical network. So we're very tightly partnered with the MHS in order to facilitate that type of data.
Let's talk about your office a little bit, because you guys stood up just in 2007. How many employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? Talk a little bit about your IT budget. How many projects are you working on, and what's the cost around all that?
We currently have 8 active duty and civilian permanently assigned here. We have an additional between 20 to 25 contractors that come in support. We have a core of 20 contractors that support us, but then we can surge up and fall back based on the workload that we have to do and the tasks that we have to complete. Our operating budget is also something that can flex based on workload and requirements. We have an operating target of between 15 to 20 million. That's kind of our planning. But as new projects come in, say we have a great new technology that comes in and a provider needs it to better health care, we can surge up in additional dollars based on that project and then obligate that money against contracts as needed.
How often does that happen? I mean, the way the medical health IT market is really grown over the last couple of years. Are you seeing a lot of new capabilities being at least presented to you? Now, whether you buy them or not, it's a whole different story.
There are some very exciting technologies that are coming out of the private sector, the vendor industries, and it ranges from data mining. For example, Alta has a huge amount of data, longitudinal, long-term data of people's health and injuries and illnesses and how they treat them. We can use data mining tools and techniques to create new ways of treating patients and making their outcome better. Then we also have different types of equipment that can be used on the patient, such as we have something called the Da Vinci robot, which is used to perform general surgeries on patients. Very, very small incisions on the patient, which makes recovery time far better and far faster. So those are some of the technologies that are coming up, but there's new stuff coming into the market all the time. And we, in conjunction with our clinicians, try to find the best of those systems that we can then incorporate into our portfolio.
How does that work? Because if you guys are looking at it from a strategic perspective and the clinicians are saying, well, we need this or we need that, do they come to you with the requests and then you guys kind of go out and look at the technology and come back to them with recommendations? Or is it more of a joint, you bring doctors and other clinicians with you to look at the technology, and it's more of a group decision based on not just technology but the needs of the doctors and clinics?
Well, sometimes it's a little of both. Sometimes there can be a groundbreaking revolutionary technology that a provider finds. He brings the idea back to us and we will vet it through our requirements process. Some of them are more long-term strategic planning. We're very involved with the MHS and their portfolio system, where they look at things based on capabilities, and they may identify something that's not currently done. Just to pull out an example is a virtual surgery, where you might do a scan on a patient and then look at all the internal organs and say, okay, this surgery will have the following effect, and then the doctor can plan that out better. Now, that's just a gee whiz example of what might be out there, but that way the doctor could kind of do a virtual operation before they actually go and do the surgery. So if that was a capability that we wanted in our portfolio, then we would go forward and see if there was some technology available that could do that, and then we would go through the budget requiring process.
I think it's fascinating because from a medical perspective, as we talked about, so much changes that I imagine people can come to you often, daily, and say, what about this or what about that? Imagine you have to look at your enterprise architecture. You have to look at what the military health system is doing in TRICARE, and even now VA, because you guys are working so closely with them, before you can make a decision of whether a certain technology can not only meet your needs from a clinician standpoint, but meet the requirements, standards that you've set out. Is that getting more difficult, or is it getting easier because of open standards and some of the open source efforts that are happening?
Well, it seems like every time it gets easier, then it gets harder. Because when you have a standard and everyone can build to that, then it's a lot easier to make a selection. But then people realize, well, I can sell more product if I come up with a new standard or a new way of doing things. So it flexes back and forth. The one thing that has gotten easier is the vendor community is bringing forward more competition, more selection, which brings better products and services to JTF CAPMED.
Very nice. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy CIO of the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical. Now, Chuck, before we break, we talked a little bit about your office. We talked a little bit about your relationship with the medical health systems and TRICARE. Let's talk about your priorities over the next 6 or 12 months. What are you hoping to accomplish?
The main priority we're focusing on right now is to complete our joint medical network and then to incorporate the mission up here at Bethesda and bring their network from the Navy network onto the JMET so we can have the seamless integration of the data and the information services. After we finish that, we need to integrate all of the systems that are being used at the North and South data centers in order to make them work efficiently and effectively for the provider. Then finally, we're going to open up negotiations and planning with the Army and the Navy and the Air Force for the other, what we call them, children, service children, but they're the satellite clinics and satellite hospitals that don't necessarily fall into the JTF command structure, but see our patients here in the National Capital Region and would benefit from the JMED services.
A lot of around network, a lot of around integration. Let's talk about that completing the network. When you say completing it, are you 80% done? Are you 60% done? What do you have to still do?
I would estimate that we're probably about 70% done. The biggest work was implementing a brand new network at Fort Belvoir Community Hospital's brand new facility. That was a huge effort, and our team, the folks down at Fort Belvoir, the folks here and the folks at the MHS, did just heroic work in order to put this brand new network together in record time. It was amazing work. So that's completed. There's a few more buildings we need to get running. Then we need to look here at Bethesda and move the Bethesda JTF mission over to the JMET. That hasn't started yet. Actually, this week, we have a bunch of engineers from MCIS, which is part of the MHS folks, and representatives from our facilities here are getting together to actually draw up the designs, do all the planning that's going to be required to implement a JMED network, local area network, here on the Bethesda campus. So that's a huge project that we're doing now.
When you're talking about completing the network and bringing it on, are we talking about a whole separate network, or are you taking existing networks and kind of melding them together?
Well, the first one at Fort Belvoir was completely new. The one here at Bethesda, we are going to do a transitioned process by which we stand up certain components of the joint medical network, local area network here, and migrate that into the Navy network. And then over time, in order to avoid as much mission impact as possible, then we'll slowly migrate the Navy network over onto the joint medical network. The whole object is, since this facility is operational, it's seeing patients now, we want to have as minimal impact to patient care as possible. So this slower transition will help us avoid that mission impact.
And when we're talking about migrating, we're talking about data, we're talking about servers, what are we exactly talking about? Because you hear network and it's this kind of highway in the sky, if you will, but you're talking about what exactly?
Network components are important because that's the highway that you have to run everything on. So that's the first thing that'll happen, and the components like the switches and all of that technical stuff will move over. Then we'll look to move the data. The actual data servers will move over. Then we start moving over the actual end-user devices, the PCs, the laptops, the services can move. Some will be done in conjunction, where you'll have to move an entire floor of a building along with the servers that support them. Others will be server first, then PCs, and it'll all be based on mission needs and requirements.
You also talked about bringing in some of the satellite clinics. How many satellite clinics are we talking about, and how big of a change will that be? Is that just, again, a matter of bringing them onto the network routers and switches, or is it more complicated?
It's more complicated than that, because when JTF CapMed actually owns the operation of the facility, it's much easier because we're going in and we're offering the service to ourselves. But with all of the Navy children, the Air Force, and Army children that don't fall under our command structure, we're actually coming to them as a service provider. So we have to make sure they understand the services we can provide, the quality of service, the uptime, and all of those technical details. And they have to be willing to say, yes, that will meet our mission requirements, so we will rely on you as a service provider. And it's a little bit more of a business relationship instead of a direct command structure.
Are they mandated to move, or is it a matter of you're trying to show to them that the services you're providing are better, more efficient, more effective than what they can do themselves?
It's more of an offering the service and saying, hey, look, we can make your access to all of these data resources, our electronic medical record, a single repository for all radiology services, we can make that available for you so that it's better, faster, and less expensive. So come to the JMED and we'll be able to offer those services to you.
It's always a big challenge. I know I've covered other stories around, for instance, GSA or even Department of Interior's National Business Center. They offer very similar services to civilian agencies. And they talk in the very same way. It's more of a business relationship. The technology we can do, it's can we hit the service level agreements and things. One of the other priorities you talked about was the integration of the medical systems at Fort Belvoir and Bethesda. Obviously, that's related to BRAC, I imagine, to a certain extent. But when you say integration of medical systems, are we talking about the stuff clinicians use or more of the back end where the data is held?
Well, it's all of the above. Since a majority of these systems have been purchased by the services for their unique hospitals, they may have selected a specific scheduling tool or a specific nurse call system for that. So you have an Army system working at Walter Reed. And we may have a different system that the Navy standardized in another area. Well, what JTF CAPMED is going to do is pull all of these separate solutions together and say, okay, which one is the best? And that's the one that we're going to use in the JTF JMED arena. So you're having a consolidation of products. You're having a standardization of products, which decreases the cost for sustainment, hopefully gives you some leverage in negotiating purchasing, because now I'm going to be buying more of the same thing, and it also reduces your contracting costs, because now I have one contract shop who's going to let one contract instead of having three.
How many systems are we talking about? Are we talking about dozens? Are we talking about hundreds? Give me a sense.
Well, one of the tasks that the CIO has to perform is appropriate portfolio management for all of his IT solutions. We have several hundred that we've collected from all of the facilities that are currently coming to us, the Walter Reed, the DeWitt Army Medical Center, which is turning over to Fort Belvoir Community Hospital, and then Bethesda here. So we have hundreds of different solutions that have been brought and been working really well for the physicians in their facilities. The difficulty is getting everyone to agree with which is the best way to move forward, because everyone is very attached to their solutions, and understandably so. It's difficult to say, okay, your solution is better than mine, so I'm going to use yours, because I really know that my solution is better than yours and I don't want to give it up. And that's a difficult communication, conversation that we're having with folks now. But we're seeing a tremendous amount of teamwork and a tremendous amount of partnering and giving and take.
I think you're seeing this across government, this exact same thing. The move, to strategic sourcing, which is a little separate, but it's the idea of here's a set of technologies or services that we deem maybe most cost-effective, most efficient. How do you make that case? How are you going to, are you bringing together more of a governance board that makes decisions, or how?
Well, we have an entire governance structure. There's three main bodies that we use. There's a clinical integrated working group, or advisory group, and that's where the customers come forward and say, I need to have this capability. And that board helps rank order the priorities of the systems, when they'll be purchased or when they'll be brought on board. Then we have a technical integrated advisory group that talks about standards, what kind of equipment are we going to use for the LAN, what kind of servers are we going to purchase for, whatever. And then we have another group called Information Assurance Advisory Group that makes sure that we're in compliance with all of the DoD standards that go along with using systems on the network.
And that security piece, I'm sure, is so crucial, not just because of its cybersecurity, but because of the type of information you have, the healthcare information, the veterans information. How does that board come in? I'm sure they have equal standing among all the other governance boards, and the role they play is pretty large.
The role they play is large. They are an equal voice in everything, because security must be balanced against mission requirements. So it's not one or the other. They both have to work in conjunction. So there's teamwork that goes on with that, and there's always some heated discussions that goes along with security. But they all work together pretty well.
I know from talking to some of the other medical facilities, the NIH, for instance, the CIO there, or even some of the scientists, the doctors always want open standards, open source. They want everything to be open. And then the security people come in and say, whoa, but we need to slow down. So you're caught in the middle, I'm sure. One other thing that you also mentioned was about data centers and a lot of data you guys deal with. There's a big push across government for data center consolidation. Talk a little bit about what you're doing around that area.
Well, the first one was a fairly simple victory that BRAC actually handed to us, and that was we have to shut down Walter Reed. Well, that's an entire data center that will be slowly and methodically and correctly retired over the course of the next several months, and the folks at Walter Reed, they have a plan to do that. So we will be reducing our data centers by one right away. The other thing that we're doing is we're making sure we're not going to duplicate servers between the North and the South campuses. So if we have a server that does, let's go with scheduling. We have a server that does scheduling and it has that application here. We don't need another server that does scheduling down at Fort Belvoir. We just need the one. So at that point, we take two scheduling systems and consolidate them into one. And we're doing that across the entire portfolio. Now, are we going to get it done right away? No. This is going to be a year-long or more transition as we do the consolidation. But we're slowly going to ramp down our cost of operation sustainment.
And I imagine it's related to the integration of medical systems as well, as you're scheduling is one example. As you are reducing the number of applications, you can say, okay, then now we can reduce the number of services that support those applications. Is that part of the same effort?
That's all part of it. And to kind of fall in line with the MHS's strategy, we really would like to disconnect the application that the user works with and the data source. I don't need 100 data sources to support 100 applications. I really only need maybe one or two data sources to support all of those. So those applications will drill into those data sources and reuse the data. That's the ultimate goal. That way, if one application is no longer meeting a user's requirement, we can switch out the application and never lose any of the data.
Very nice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about BRAC. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical. Now, Chuck, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about completing the network. We talked about integrating medical systems. And one of the things that kind of occurred to me was data. We hear it all about the data. There's so much data. It's less about the system and more about the data. What are you guys doing around data sharing, data integration, and how does that kind of fall into BRAC? Did BRAC give that a little bit of a push that maybe was unexpected?
Well, BRAC, of course, wanted us to center on integrating healthcare delivery to improve patient care for the wounded warriors, our beneficiaries, our active duty. So that was the integration of the human aspect to take better care of the patients. Now we moved into an opportunity to integrate the data. Now, data is all kinds of different things. It's lab results, it's pharmacy results, it's my prescription for whatever. But it's also images such as CAT scans, MRIs, just standard x-ray, digitized x-rays. And one of the challenges that all facilities have is when you refer a patient from one place, say an emergency room down south, to some definitive care up here, how do you get that information to flow quickly, seamlessly, so that it's there before the patient gets there? Radiology studies was one of the biggest challenges. With the data integration that we have, the JMed that we have, now we can have that information flow seamlessly from the point of capture, the point of care with the patient, and once again, in the scenario that it's an emergency room down south and they did a CAT scan on something. With the JMed, if a facility is hooked to the JMed, that image can go directly into the radiology repository and be instantly available at the referring facility. So that is a huge benefit to make sure that the right data gets to the right provider on the right patient at the right time.
How's that working? Because one of the biggest challenges is the different standards. With if the hospital in Atlanta is using system X and the hospital in New York is using system Y and the person's traveling and they want their records to join them, traditionally it's easier to just give them a CD, to give them a thumb drive, or give them some kind of media to take with them. Is there a middleware you're looking at? Is it just a matter of making sure around open standards? Give me a sense of how you're making that happen.
Well, I can speak specifically for the military activity. We have a fairly good standard way of storing images and storing data. So, for example, if one of our soldiers, sailor, airmen, or Marines is wounded over in the combat zone, there's technology that we have over there that will capture information on that patient, get it back to our electronic medical record here. So once that patient is entered into the electronic medical record over in the combat zone, his primary care physician over here can get access to it fairly quickly. The same with the images. The image is a little harder moving from there. But as long as treatment is given or a radiology study or lab is done at a military facility, it goes into our repository and can be seen anywhere at another facility. So the military kind of has an advantage because we're all in one standardized system that's brought to us by TMA and the military health system. The interesting thing is, and kind of the next generation, is to make that information available for our civilian partners downtown. Now, in the National Capital Region, we have a wealth of medical capability just within the DoD facilities. But in other areas where we may have a small clinic, they don't have all those robust capabilities, but they have partnerships with the folks downtown, the civilian providers and hospitals. How do we get that information from there back? And that's kind of the next generation of things that we're starting to look at. There's a lot of different technologies. There's something called the NHIN, which is and you know what the NHIN is about. How do we get tied into that? And then there's tremendous potential with the partnerships with the VA on getting the systems to talk back and forth to each other. We have some very good initial capability, but that needs to become more robust, and I know the MHS is following through on those particular requirements with the VA.
We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I did want to talk a little bit about your background. How long have you been the Deputy CIO at the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical, and where else in the government have you worked?
Well, I came on board about a year ago. They needed someone who could handle the information assurance activities, and so I was brought on board initially for that, and then Mr. Rowland chose me as his deputy CIO when we had a rotation of staff. Before then, I spent 20 years on active duty with the Air Force as a medical service officer, specialized in IT, but did a lot of the other things that medical service officers do, budgeting, planning, readiness, and those types of activities. And oddly enough, when I first started, I was selling computers and network components. Many years ago, back when a 20-megabyte hard drive cost $500, and that was all you'd ever need. And one of my clients was Kirtland Air Force Base, and the teammanship that I saw there and the integrity and how the active duty members carried themselves and worked together, I said, I'd like to be part of that team, and I was brought on by the recruiter from there.
And you also worked at the military health system for a while?
I did work at TMA for a year and did some very interesting things with something called distributed development and common development environments. A lot of people are very familiar with the iTunes store and the iApps. Well, if we could move to something along those lines where we can do rapid prototyping, rapid development of very modularized applications and make the military standards so that we could use those, that's something that has some incredible future technology and future capability that would be of great advantage to the military health system.
Very good. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Chuck Chapdelaine, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Joint Task Force National Capital Region Medical. Chuck, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Newsmakers, talk to Jared Serbu.
Captain David Dermanelian is the Coast Guard's Chief Information Security Officer.
When we start talking about Android and the iOS devices, without injecting risk on our infrastructure, we're able to allow the end users now to access their personal social media sites as well as their personal banking or otherwise sites. That's an additional bonus, if you will.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.